Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Was the Apostle John a practical joker? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. J.C. Ryle was an Anglican bishop during the 19th century who made this statement. He said, "There is such a thing as strong assurance of our acceptance in Christ, and a Christian should never rest till he has obtained it. That a man may be saved without this strong assurance, I do not deny, but that without it he misses a great privilege and much comfort, I am quite sure." What I find out of this, Eric, is that he talks about having the assurance of our acceptance in Christ, not an assurance of our acceptance of Christ. In other words, we have a knowledge of who Jesus is, but that's not enough. It's having the knowledge and the assurance that we are accepted in him and that he accepts us as one of his followers and believers. He says, "A Christian should never rest till he has obtained it." I find that one of the greatest benefits of the Christian faith that separates Christianity from every other religion in the world is because it is based on the grace of God that is applied to the sinner. And that this grace covers, forgives the multitude of sins, we can have the assurance in knowing that despite the fact that we are sinful creatures, we are still accepted in Christ. This is something that no other religion offers, including the religion of Mormonism. When we look at 1 John 5:11 through 13, and that's really the basis of what we're going to be talking about today, we find that the Apostle John makes a very clear statement about this very issue that J.C. Ryle was addressing, and that is the fact that we can know whether or not we have eternal life. What does it say?
Well, before I read that real quick, to bounce off of what you've just said, Bill, as far as every other religion, they're all saying, asking the question, what is it I can do for God? When Christianity is asking the question, what has God done for me first? And there's nothing we can do. Isaiah 64:6 says all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags in God's sight.
And your question there, what has God done for me, is really the crux of the matter of today's show. And that's the question we're asking our listeners today. What has Jesus done for you? Let's get on with what 1 John 5 says.
This is what it says. "This is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life, and this is in his Son. He who has a son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God."
That you may know that you have eternal life. Why would John say that if it wasn't possible to know whether or not we have eternal life? Now, I love the way John words it here because he doesn't use the word salvation, a word that Mormons can play with and manipulate because they have in their church, the Mormon church, has redefined the word salvation and given it two basic understandings, one being resurrection from the dead, which would be
general resurrection.
Salvation by grace. And then there's a personal salvation or individual salvation, which is known as exaltation or godhood.
And that's important for those who don't know very much about Mormonism. When we use the language and we're talking to somebody and we're telling them about Jesus and eternal life, and if you don't understand that concept right there with salvation, you might sit around and agree all day long about, yeah, we believe in salvation by grace through faith. And they'll say, well, yes, we do too. But they're meaning the first definition you gave and not the second meaning. Right. And that's so crucial if you want to have a conversation that makes sense with a Latter-day Saint.
Exactly. And getting back to what John actually says here, when he uses the phrase eternal life, a Mormon is compelled to understand that in only one way. And that is, they have to understand it, if they're going to be consistent, that John was saying that it is possible to know if they have exaltation or godhood in the next life, because that's how they understand that phrase. We need to look at some of the statements of Mormon sources that shows this connection. And one of them, I would probably go right to Russell M. Nelson in a talk that he gave in General Conference back in 2008. And this is found in the May 2008 issue of Ensign, page 9, where he says, eternal life, or celestial glory, or exaltation, notice how he ties them all together, and then he says, is a conditional gift. In other words, if a person is going to have this eternal life, or this celestial glory, or this exaltation, it comes only by meeting certain requirements. We find in the Gospel Principles, a church manual that is often cited. What does it say in the 2009 issue?
On page 275, it says, exaltation is eternal life. And then on the next page, it talks about what those blessings are, including living eternally in the presence of Heavenly Father, becoming gods, being united eternally with righteous family members. It goes through the some of the blessings, and then after that, it talks about the requirements for exaltation. And this is what it says quite simply, the time to fulfill the requirements for exaltation is now. And then in parentheses, it says, see Alma 34, 32 to 34. We know what that says, Bill.
Sure. It's talking about not procrastinating your repentance even until death, because if you do procrastinate your repentance until death, the devil has sealed you his, and this is the final state of the wicked. It's one verse that is emphasized, I find, in church manuals and by church leaders, but not one that we find a lot of Latter-day Saint lay members bringing up in a conversation when we're talking about grace, because many Latter-day Saints are given the impression, or give us the impression, that they have the ability to make up for lost time in the next life. Well, not according to the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon does not give them that out. They have to do it now. And as you've just said from the 2009 Gospel Principles, the time to fulfill the requirements for exaltation is now. But many Latter-day Saints know they haven't filled that requirement for exaltation now, and that's why many of them do not have the assurance that they have eternal life waiting for them after they die. They cannot know that they have eternal life. And we go back to what John says. Why would John say this? If John was really teaching Mormonism in the New Testament, which of course we don't believe he was, but we have to look at it from the view, from the angle of a Latter-day Saint. If John was in fact supporting a Mormon premise, we have to assume that he is saying that in order to get that exaltation, you can know if you have it ahead of time, not something you learn later on after the fact. You have to know ahead of time.
We have to understand a little bit about the Greek here, because the Greek, this word is eidete, which is the perfect subjunctive form of oida. And a lot of people might say, well, what in the world does that all mean? Well, what it means is it's talking about something that happened in the past but has a continuation on. And this is what Simon Kistemacher says in his New Testament commentary over 1 John. He says in verse 13, he's referring to 1 John 5:13, he adds the concept to know, namely, to know with certainty. And so what John is saying here, he puts in very particularly a form of a word that says this is something you have assurance of, not just a head knowledge, not just, well, I think it's true, but you can know with assurance that it's true.
I would say that most Latter-day Saints would probably have what some have called a demonic faith in Christ. Now, that sounds pretty horrible right off the face of it. But it's going back to James 2:19. James 2:19 says what?
You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble.
Now, of course, I'm not saying the first part of that, because Mormons don't believe there's only one God. Right. They believe that there's many gods and that they have the opportunity to become gods themselves. So right there, we would find a correction for Latter-day Saints coming from the pen of James. Because if you believe there's one God, you're doing well. If you believe in many gods, I have to assume you're not doing very well. But the second half is what I'm talking about here when he says even the demons believe. Now, we know the demons don't have an opportunity for salvation. It's over for them, even in the context of Mormonism.
And it says, and they tremble. The literal Greek is frisousin. And the word frisousin literally means the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. And this is where English fails us as far as translating this, because as far as believe goes, we only have one word to really say that. But in Latin, there are actually three ways to say that. And the word fides is a head knowledge that people have, they know in their head. A second type of belief would be assensus, where you assent to something being true. But the third word from the Latin would be fiducia. And fiducia literally means a heart belief that you would have, that you not only have it in your head, but you know in your heart that something is true. This is what the Bible talks about when it talks about having belief. It's not just talking about having a head knowledge.
What we see the difference between a demonic belief is they believe in the existence of Jesus, but they don't rest in the assurance that they have salvation from Jesus. And many times when you talk to Latter-day Saints, they talk about Jesus being the Savior. But many times, they don't usually say, well, he's my Savior, because in order for him to be their personal Savior, they have to meet all these requirements, and most Latter-day Saints, being honest, don't know if they have done this. So this gets back to our question. Why is John saying we can know, and yet all these members of the only true church on earth don't seem to know?
We're probably not going to have time to fully discuss this. We may have to go till tomorrow. But my question to you, Bill, is what do you do when the Latter-day Saint says, well, that's audacious for you to say that you know you have eternal life?
It's only because they are coming to you with this presupposition that knowing this means you've been able to perform all the things that are necessary. And that is not what we are saying as Christians. The reasons we can have this assurance, the assurance that J.C. Ryle was talking about, as we mentioned earlier in the show, is not based on anything that we have personally accomplished, but it's because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross on our behalf. This is why we can know this. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with what Jesus did for us. And it's important, Christian, that you make this very clear when you are talking to your Latter-day Saint friend, or as you have said, Eric, they will walk away thinking that you are being nothing more than arrogant.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.